if you have a Bible, you can turn right now and go to Exodus chapter 20. If you're using one of the black Bibles in the back, it's going to be on page 64, so you can grab that. And we've been, over the last couple weeks now, we started the year off going through the Ten Commandments. We've been looking at each of the commandments. Last week, we were on have no other idols, have no idols, right? And then the first week, we talked about having no other gods. And today, we're on commandment number 3. So I'm going to read the passage. It's only one verse that we're going to be in today. One verse, one passage. We're looking at the third commandment. So here's what it says. Let me read this passage from Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you in your word, we ask that you would be with us. Lord, help us to see this commandment for the good that it is, Lord. Help us to heed its warning that you won't let anyone go unpunished who misuses your name. Help us to see the commandment through the lens of Jesus as he lived, as he taught us, Lord. And I pray that as we look at this commandment, we would experience what you say in the Psalms, Lord, that we would look at your law and behold the wondrous things that are in there. Help us to see this commandment as beautiful and good. Help this commandment to point us to Jesus, to walk out of here living transformed lives, Lord, who see this commandment as a joy, Lord, not a burden. We pray all this in your name and for your glory. Amen. All right, so today we're talking about misusing the name of the Lord. Now, names, right, all of us know this, names are a very important part of any person's identity, right? As a parent, one of the first things, one of the most exciting things you get to do is name a child, right? That's one of the most exciting things. And naming a child, right, a names can communicate so much about who a person is and what he does, right? Like, I always say this, I'm so glad that I'm following Jesus, right, because my name is Christian. Can you imagine if I was a Buddhist? That would be unfortunate, okay? That'd be unfortunate. I had to live up to my name because I'm a Christian, right? But you can tell a lot about a person based on their name. For example, you can tell what a person believes based on their name. Like if you're one of those Christians, right? If you're one of those people that have a Bible name that's kind of obscure, like Barnabas or Asaph, then we know that your parents were probably believers, right? If you have one of the, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, that's all common. But Barnabas, Asaph, man, you special, right? But we also know, right, like the level of your faith based on your names, because if you have a Bible name like Jezebel, then we know your parents might be Christians. They just never read their Bible when they named you, right? We know that about names, right? Names matter a lot, right? Names matter a lot. Like even if you have, for example, if you have one of the most obscure spellings of a name, one of the most obscure pronunciations of a name, even you feel some type of way when someone mispronounces that name, right? But that's not our fault. That's your fault, okay? That's your parents' fault, right? Names can do a lot. They can communicate a lot. Names have a lot of power behind it. Like some of you guys know that the only reason, right, the only reason that you got into a place was because of who you knew, right? Because the power of a name. Right? The names matter. Kids know this inherently. Like at my house, I don't know if you guys have ever been there. I got 5 kids. So this scene plays out a lot. The power of a name. So you'll hear a kid, right? Knock on the door. Knock, knock, knock. What? Open the door. Why? Because. Open the door. No. Right? They don't open the door. All of a sudden, that same kid. Knock, knock, knock. Open the door. Why? Dad said so. The door just magically swings open, right? All of a sudden, right, kids know the power of a name, right? A name can open doors. A name can give you opportunities, right? We all know the power of a name. Like, I remember when I was a young guy growing up in ministry, I was in the church, and I didn't go to no singles events like the young adults ministry. That's cool. What I did was, let me go serve in the nursery. Let me go serve in the elementary class. So I just jumped into elementary, only lasted a week because of this, what just happened. So I was in there teaching elementary, and all of a sudden, this kid just kept standing up, walking around. He wasn't paying attention. I said, hey, sit down when I talk. And he said, he looked at me, the kid straight into my eye, and he said, it's my dad's church. I can do whatever I want. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. But even that kid, he knew the power of a name. Fast forward many, many years later, now I'm on staff at a church, okay? And this is our old church, so our church got new mics, and they had just set it up. We just got this new building, and the pastor for the worship ministry is up there setting everything up after church. And all I hear is, like, I'm in the back cleaning up my stuff. My kid is running around. I'm not going to tell you which one. But all I hear is the pastor, hey, don't touch the mics. And he looks at him and goes, this is my dad's church. I can do whatever I want. I was like, bro, what? I never taught my son that. I never instilled that in him. I was like, I looked at the guy. I was like, bro, promise you, I never said that to my son. Okay? Because he looked at me like, what? You teaching your son? I didn't teach him that. Right? But my son inherently knew, okay, my dad's a pastor. I can do different stuff that other kids can't do, which is not true at all. That is misusing the name, right? That's misusing a name. And misusing someone's name, using it to get in a door that you shouldn't get into, isn't a good thing. It isn't a right thing. Now, if we care about our names being misused, right? Like, for example, when my kids are arguing and the kid says, dad said so, open up the door. If dad didn't say so, I'm more mad at the kid that used my name for lying, right? So if we care about our name, then my question is, how much more the infinite creator cares about his name? How much more does God care about the way that we utilize his name, the things we do with God's name? He cares about it a lot. This is why he says in Exodus 20, verse 7, do not misuse the name of the Lord. Now, what does it mean to misuse God's name? Well, in other translations that you're going to read, it's going to say, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. It means don't take God's word lightly, right? Don't take God's word lightly. The word vain, it means something empty or something worthless or treating something like it's nothing, right? Treating something like it's just vain, it's nothing. So this passage isn't saying that you can never say God's name. It's not saying that you can never write God's name, you can never text God's name, but we can't treat God's name as if it's something that has no weight. As if it's something that is worthless, right? The problem that we have, though, is we don't take this commandment very seriously. We just don't. And how do I know this? Well, because there are a lot of sins that we like to call out as Christians, right? We see sexual sin out there. We see other sins out there that the world is doing. We'll call those out. We see those sins happening in the life of our friends. We will call that out, but we don't call out when they use the name of the Lord in vain. We just don't. We wouldn't consume different shows with all kinds of sexual sin or anything like that, but we'll consume shows that use the name of the Lord in vain because we tolerate this sin. We tolerate it in other people's lives and we tolerate it in our own lives, unfortunately. But here's what we see in Exodus 20, verse 7, with all the commandments, right? God does not take this commandment lightly. This is a serious command to God. It's not serious to us, but it's so serious to God that he says this, the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses the name. No one will go unpunished who misuses the name. God takes his name so seriously, and if we're followers of God, if we love God, then we should take this name seriously as well. Now, one of the things we've been saying, though, as a church, when we looked at this chapter, right, this verse in Exodus, is that the commandments weren't given to Israel. Like, God didn't just say, don't misuse my name. Right? He didn't just give that commandment and say, hey, watch the way you use my name. No. We know that the Ten Commandments, including this one, was given in a context. What's the context of the Ten Commandments? And this is something we always got to remember in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. We're going to keep coming back to it. This is what God said before he even gave any commandments. Before God said not to misuse my name, he said this, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. The context where God says, don't misuse my name, is a context in which God has done so much good. God has blessed Israel so much. God had freed Israel from slavery in Egypt. So God wasn't just saying, don't take my name in vain. Don't misuse my name because I'm sensitive about it. No, he's saying, don't misuse my name because of who I am and what I've done. Who I am and what I've done. And more specifically, what I've done for you, my people. So who is God to Israel? What did God do for Israel? Well, like we said, a name can tell a lot about a person, right? A name can tell you a lot about a person. So what is God's name, or the name of God? What does that say about God? Right? I want to spend some time looking at that. Well, for one, we know that God is God because no one gave him his name, right? No one gave God his name, which means no one has authority over God, right? Like parents, one of the special things about being able to name your child is you give them kind of an identity before they're even born. Right? Because you have authority over that child in some capacity, in some small way, you have some authority over that child and you give them a name, right? That you sometimes, if you're thinking about it correctly, that you want them to live into, right? You give them a solid name. Now, with God, no one gave him his name, which means no one has authority over God. And you notice in scripture, when God goes and he changes Abram's name to Abraham, you guys remember that story? Because it's in your Bible reading, so you should have read it already, right? That was this week, right? When God changes his name from Abram to Abraham, God doesn't consult with Abraham. He doesn't ask him, what you think? You like this name? You think it's good? No, God just names him. Why? Because God has all power and all authority, and so he can name things whatever he wants to. But no one does that for God, because God is God, right? God is God. The next thing we see, right, about this is elsewhere, right, it reveals God is the one who reveals that name to people, right? If no one gives God his name, then how do we know the name of God? It's because God chose to speak to his people. So God, in us knowing his name, is revealing himself and is showing that God is a compassionate God. God doesn't leave us in the dark about who he is. It is no mystery to us who God is. It was no mystery to Israel. They knew who God was because God had revealed himself to him. And so how did he reveal himself to them, right? What kind of names describe God? Well, he describes himself in all kinds of ways. This first one, we see that God is called Elohim. You guys might have heard that word, Isaiah 40, 28. This is what it says. Did you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He is Elohim, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. So this is calling God, right? When it says God is Elohim, that means that he is the all-powerful creator. He created all things in the universe, which means he has power over all things. He's not the kind of God who grows weary. He's not the kind of God who grows faint or gets tired. And Israel knew this because when they were faint in the wilderness, when they were ready to collapse in the wilderness, guess who wasn't ready to collapse? Their God. He was always there for them. Always backing them up, always supporting them. When Israel came up to the point where they were running from Pharaoh's armies and they were at the Red Sea and they had nowhere to go, their God was not too weary. Their God was not too tired. All he did was part the Red Sea and allowed his people to walk on through. Why? Because he is Elohim. He has control over all of creation at all times. Genesis 17:1, it says that God himself is El Shaddai, the sovereign Lord. He's sovereign over everything. He is God Almighty. That means that God was a God who didn't just say that he would do amazing things, but El Shaddai means that God can deliver on every single one of his promises. All the promises in Scripture, the promises to reconcile you, the promise to forgive you, the promise to bless you and to show you grace, he doesn't just say he can do those things. He does all those things. Exodus 15:1, it calls God Jehovah Rapha. That God is the God who heals. And we know that that healing is not just physical, but that healing is spiritual. That God can bring healing to all your diseases. That God can heal all your iniquities. All the healing that you need spiritually, God has in and of himself. He can bring wholeness out of any broken situation. Some of you guys have experienced that. Exodus 17:15. And remember, this is building up. This is before the command. Exodus 7:15, it refers to God as Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Do you know what that means? It means that God is a banner in the middle of his enemies. When they went out to war, they would hold a banner. And what this is saying is, listen, God is our flag. God is our banner. God is our sign of protection. As the psalmist says in Psalm 23, right? That he prepares a table before me, which is great. It's great that God prepares a table before me, but how many of you guys have enemies? How many of you guys have people who are against you? What God says is, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I'm gonna bless you and I'm gonna keep you, and it's gonna be for everybody who's against you to witness. The Lord is my banner. Genesis 22:14, Jehovah Jireh, that God is the kind of God who provides. Anybody need provision out here? Right? God is the one who provides. He provides bread for you to eat. He provides money for you to live. Right? We know that this isn't just physical needs, but spiritual needs. That God provides. And in this context where God refers to himself as Jehovah Jireh, the one who will provide, this is talking about God providing the ultimate sacrifice for sin. This was the story of Abraham. When he went up and God told him, I want you to sacrifice your only son. And he goes up. And when Abraham is ready to do what God commanded him to do, God tells him to stop. And God says, I will provide. I'm going to provide the sacrifice. I'm going to make you right with me. And I'm going to be the one to do it. So if you're in here and you feel like you're far from God and you feel like you've done too much for God to forgive you, the Lord will provide. He has provided in his son, Jesus. Anything you need to be made right with God, God provides it. Judges 6:24, Jehovah Shalom, that he is the Lord of peace. that he is the God who provides peace. He brings peace to his people. God doesn't want you to think that he is frustrated with you or angry with you. No, God wants you at peace. And he does that first by giving you peace between you and God. He provides peace for his people. And Exodus 3, 13 through 14, when Moses, before Moses is about to go and deliver God's people, he asked God, who should I say sent me? The people won't believe me when I go. Who sent me? And he says, I am that I am, that I am the Lord. I am the Yahweh, the self-existent, self-efficient, self-sufficient, sovereign God of the universe. I am always faithful to my promises. That is the God who sends me. So Moses went in his name. And so you see, God's name, it shows us how God relates to his people. God's name shows us who he is. And so if God is all powerful, if God has done all these good things, if God has provided for all your needs, if God is bringing peace to his people, if God is protecting his people, if God is healing his people, then how could we ever minimize the name of God? How could we ever do that? Right, let me just paint the picture for you. Like, can you imagine? Some of you guys have done this. You've experienced this, right? Especially in church, right? We don't gossip. We just have prayer requests, right? But you know when people, right? You know when you know somebody and they're solid. Good people. They love God. They love people. You know them really well, right? And so when somebody else comes along who badmouths them and talks bad about them, and they don't know them very well, right? Your job as a brother in Christ isn't to just let that go on. It's to step up and go, nah, bro, he's not like that because I know him, right? Because I know who he is. I know what he's done, right? And here's the thing. It's the same way, but more intensified with God. At the point that Israel received this commandment, they shouldn't be thinking, man, God, why are you so concerned about your name? Why are you so concerned? I mean, like, it's no big deal. No, no. Everything we know about God up to this point in Israel's history, everything they know is that God is and he's done amazing things for them. He is worthy of all praise and honor and glory and ultimate worship. And because of who God is, they should have been excited to not minimize the name of the Lord, their God. How could we ever take God's name so lightly when he's done such amazing things for us, for you and me, right? When God says, don't take the name of the Lord in vain, he's commanding it in light of who he's already proven himself to be, right? Like if somebody random on the street says, hey man, watch how you use my name, what you did to me? You know, who are you to me? Well, who is God to us, right? He's done all this good for us. And so what are some ways, like I want to just jump into this. What are some ways that we take God's name lightly? What are some ways that we do that? Well, one of the ways is using God's name thoughtlessly, mindlessly. It's like when people, for example, right, they use God's name as a curse word, right? They use God's name as a curse word. That's what a lot of people do, right? They use Jesus's name as a curse word, right? When they can't think of anything else, they just say God's name as a curse word. That is using the name of the Lord in vain. But here's the thing, Christians, even we can minimize God's name, even in our prayers. Listen to what Jesus says, Matthew 6, 7. Jesus says this, when you pray, because it's assumed Christians, you're gonna be praying. So when you pray, and I know you guys praying a lot throughout the week, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they think, they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. When we pray, do we use God's name as a comma? When you can't think of anything, you just say all kinds of names of God. Because what God says is, listen, if you can't think of anything and all you do is use God's name, that's the same heart. You're mindlessly using the name of God. And Christians, we can do that all the time. Now, Jesus isn't trying to frighten a new believer in their prayers, but he's trying to say, listen, I don't want you to think that you get more prayer points by saying my name. I already know, you know who I am. I know what you need. Don't babble on. Right? So use God's name mindfully, right? Think about it when you're using God's name. The second way that we see that people can misuse God's name is using God's name to prove how faithful you are, to prove that you're telling the truth. Like you guys all know this, right? Your friend, when you're a little kid playing in the yard, right? I promise, well, brah, I got this crazy thing, bro. I stole this car and I ramped it over this hill, bro. It was crazy. Ran away from the cops. Really? That sounds strange, bro. You're only 12. I promise to God. Everybody knows, right? The guy that says that, you can't trust him, okay? The guy that says that, you cannot trust him, right? But why do people do that? Because their word is not good enough. And so they have to make a promise to God, right? And that somehow justifies the thing that they're saying, right? We all know we can't trust them. Here's what Jesus says. Instead of making promises to God, instead of using God's name to justify and to show how faithful you are, instead, be so transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ that you let your yes be yes and your no be no. That your yes is as good as a promise. That your no is as good as done, right? The way that we honor God isn't by using his name to justify how faithful we are. The way we honor God is by living as truth tellers. That's how we honor God. The next thing, people can misuse God's name and use it in vain is using God's name to justify your actions, right? When you say this, God told me. God told me this, right? Well, usually when people say God told me, I'm not saying that God didn't tell you. What I am saying is if God told you that, but the Bible says this, then which one am I going to believe? What you think God told you or what God said in his word? God told me I got to leave my family. I got to be happy. Really? Because God told me, love your wife as Christ loved the church. God told me, seek reconciliation. It's so weird that God's telling you one thing and he's telling me and the rest of the church something different, right? God told me I can't submit to him. Really? Because God said submit in all things, right? When we use God told me to justify our own sinful actions, our own bad decisions, we are violating, we are misusing the name of God, misusing it. Right? When we use God's name to justify why we're disagreeing with what God has revealed in his word, we are using God's name in vain because violating the third commandment is not just a matter of speaking God's name. As Ryan prayed earlier, it's a matter of the heart. Misusing God's name is a matter of the heart. You can literally, why have we not spent so much time talking about the particulars of what situations constitute a violation of this commandment? Because of this. You can never let God's name slip out of your mouth. You can never say, oh my God, at an inappropriate time. You can never use the name of God. You could write G/D in your text messages, right? And you can still violate this commandment. You can still break this commandment because the most serious way that we as Christians violate this commandment is not just speaking God's name in vain physically with our tongues, it's by living a life that is not consistent with God's name, right? Using God's name in vain is not living like a Christian. I want to go to a New Testament passage that talks about this. Jesus Christ, when he was speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, he gathers all his people. And the Sermon on the Mount, right? You guys know that story. He teaches people how to pray. He said, blessed are the poor, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. He says all these things. And he's actually commenting on the law. And I think he comments on this passage as well in one of the scariest passages ever recorded. Here's what Jesus says. So he's warning people, listen, watch out for false prophets. There are going to be people who look like sheep and they're going to make their way into the church, but really they're wolves. They look like sheep. They look like good people. They look like followers of God, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. And then he says this in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Notice what Jesus is saying here, right? The people that call Jesus Lord are people who recognize who Jesus is. And in order to understand this passage, you kind of got to know what was going on at the time. So the Jews in those days, they didn't use the Hebrew Bible. They used the Septuagint. The Septuagint was a Greek translation of the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, God was revealed as Yahweh. But when the Hebrews, when the Jewish people would see the word Yahweh, when they translated the Bible, that word Lord, they would use the word Kurios. And so Jesus is saying, listen, not everyone who knows my name, Kurios, Yahweh, the Lord, right? Not everyone who says Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who recognizes rightly that Jesus is God will enter the kingdom of heaven. You can have right theology about who God is, right? You can recognize who Jesus is and still not be saved. You can know the right name for God and still not be saved. People can be emotionally expressive toward God and still not be saved. You can literally come up here and look like the Spirit's moving and cry and weep and raise your hands and still never be transformed by Jesus. Never know Jesus. When they say Lord, Lord, back in those days, they didn't have exclamation points, right? When you want to emphasize something, right? You put an exclamation point. Some of you guys don't read, but that's what you do, okay? You're like, what is that? It's like a line with a dot, okay? I get it. Okay, audiobook people in here, right? You put an exclamation point when we write, when we try to emphasize something. In those days, when they want to emphasize something, they just repeated it. And so when it's saying, Lord, Lord, this is somebody who is emphatic. Lord, Lord, they are emotionally moved by God. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, you can lift your hands and pray. You can cry during worship and still never truly know me. And then he warns them, right? People come up to him. He said, many people will come up to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name? Didn't we do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, you lawbreakers. Isn't that interesting? Many people will say, Lord, Lord. Many people will do great things for God, and many people truly don't know who he is. The greatest way that we take the name of the Lord in vain is by calling ourselves Christians, by acting like we know Jesus and never living like we know Jesus, which is what Israel did. They called themselves the people of God and they went after other gods, right? And it's the same thing that we do when we call ourselves Christians and fail to pursue God, fail to live like we're followers of Jesus. And if violating the third commandment means more than just saying the wrong words, if it means more than that, and that means that every single one of us in here are guilty of violating this commandment. A person who calls themselves a Christian is guilty whenever they say they follow God, but they sin. You're guilty. Don't we all sin, Christians? But a person who doesn't follow God, a non-Christian, is guilty because they don't honor God either. And so they're a sinner too. And so all of us in here fail to reflect this commandment properly. All of us in here fail to represent God properly. All of us at some level take the name of God in vain. Let's pray. No, let's not pray. Okay? We got to keep going. Stick with me. Okay? I want to show you an example of how seriously God takes this commandment, because it is serious. And my struggle as I was preparing this message is I realized in my own life, I do not take this command seriously. I do not care enough about this command. But I was reading this story, and in the book of Leviticus, there was a man who got into a fight, okay? This guy got into a fight, and if you can imagine, during fights, if you've ever been in a fight, it gets emotional, it gets heated, and when you're angry, you just say stuff. You might not even mean it, but you say stuff. You might not even mean it, but you'll cut at this other person, right? Even this person that you love so much, you will say things that will just tear them down. So this guy gets into a fight rightfully, right? And this is what it says, that during this fight, when he's emotional, when he's angry, when he's heated, it said that he blasphemed the name of God. He blasphemed the name of God. So here's what happens. It said that he took the man into custody and God had to speak to Moses. And here's what God said, right? Leviticus 24, 16. This is God speaking to Moses about this guy that's in custody for violating the name of God, blaspheming God's name. He says this, whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. The whole community is to stone him. If he blasphemes the name, he has to be put to death, whether the resident alien or the native. God reminds Moses and he reminds Israel, whoever blasphemes my name, whoever misuses my name, whoever takes my name in vain, put them to death. That's how seriously I take my name. So in Leviticus 24, 23, it says, the Israelite man who had cursed was brought outside the camp and stoned to death. Anyone who violates God's commands deserves that punishment. Anyone who takes the name of the Lord in vain deserves what that guy got. That's what all of us deserve. None of us in here have honored God in that way perfectly. None of us. And so what's the good news? Well, the good news is this, that God knew that we couldn't keep this command. God knew that we wouldn't be able to hold up his name as holy every single moment of our life. God knows the weakness of man. He knows our hearts are fickle and our hearts are inconsistent, that our love wanes. Our love for God is on fire sometimes, and sometimes it's as cold as a stone. And so what God says is, listen, later on down the line, Israel, I'm going to provide another man, another Israelite man, and he's going to live a perfect life. And in his moment of distress, in his biggest fight of his life, he won't curse my name. He'll cry out to me as God. And that man was Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came and he lived under the same laws that we're called to live under. And yet he never disobeyed his father. He never lived a life inconsistent with who God called him to be. He was always loving God and following God and obeying God's commands, even when it was hard. And the Bible says that instead of receive all the blessings of someone who obeys the command of God, it says that Jesus willingly went outside the camp for every single one of us. And Jesus himself took the punishment that all of us deserve. Jesus took the punishment, the wrath of God for everybody who's ever blasphemed God's name. For anyone who's ever misused God's name, for everyone who's failed to honor God's name, Jesus went to the cross for all of you. He went to the cross and died for you, because we might not honor God with our lips, right? We might do that, but our hearts can be far from him, right? We might honor God with our lips and our hearts be far from him, but Jesus sacrificed himself so that all of us who dishonor God with our lips and in our hearts can be brought near to God. That's the joy. That's how we get right with God in this command. Not by our own strength and not by our own works, but by what Jesus has done. And so now, because Jesus has invited us into his family, we are free to follow this command. We're free to do what Jesus did. We're free to honor God in the way we live and the way we speak. So the question is, how do we do that? How do we obey this commandment? Well, you can focus on all the things not to do. Like, we can go down a list. Don't use God's name like this, and don't use God's name like that. But I want to do it how Jesus said. Right, when you focus on all the things you shouldn't do, a lot of times we just walk on eggshells. But I don't think that that's how God has called us to live. Instead, what does Jesus say? In the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this. Our Father in heaven, what's the first petition in the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be thy name. In other words, what he wants us to focus on isn't on the things not to do, but the things that we should be doing. You want to not violate this command? Then focus your heart and your energy on honoring God's name. How do you honor God's name? The first is you love and appreciate the name of God, right? Love and appreciate. Like everything we said earlier, do you know the names that God reveals himself as? Do you know the character of God? Have you looked in the Word? Don't take my word for it. Get into the Bible yourself. Read the Bible for yourself and see all that God reveals himself to be, that God provides for you and God blesses you and God loves you and God lays down his life for you. Look at who God is in his word. That's how you love and appreciate him. Some of you don't love and appreciate God because all you got is secondhand knowledge. I need you to look in the word and experience God firsthand. He doesn't want you to receive residual blessing from other people. He wants you to experience the blessing of knowing who he is, right? Right? Hey, knowing Brother Nui is great for me, and it would be cool that you know him through me, but it would be better if you got to know Brother Nui yourself, right? There you go, right? The second thing is reflect God's name to the people around you. Don't just call yourself a Christian and not live like it. When you believe who Jesus calls you to be and you live as Jesus calls you to live, you begin to reflect him to everybody around you. The Bible says that when you believe in God, you no longer are called just by your name. The Bible says God is so loving, he knows you by name, that God calls you by name. But you know what's more amazing than God knowing you by name? When you come to believe in God, the Bible says, in that same passage, by the way, it says this, that he now calls you by his name. And when you're called by God's name, that means that you're called to represent him. Right? When you get baptized as a believer, you are baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I no longer live for myself. I live for God. I no longer live for my own glory. I live for God's glory. I live not to represent myself or my family. I live to represent the God who saved me. And if my God is gracious, I'm going to be gracious too. If my God is compassionate, I'm going to show compassion. If my God tells the truth, I'm going to tell the truth. If my God is righteous, then I'm going to live a righteous life no matter what the world says, right? Now, the last way that we honor God and his name isn't just by experiencing all the good things that God has for us, but it's by sharing God's name. As a Christian, right, God didn't just want us to come into Christian community and just know him and be saved. Because if God just wanted us to be with him and be saved, we would have got saved and immediately up to heaven. Why does God still have us here? This world sucks, right? It's better elsewhere. Even the best people got problems. Why are we still here? You're not here for yourself. You're here to spread the name of God to the people around you. There are people in your life right now who are living a life that is just leading them down a dark road, leading them into sin, leading them into more pain and more sorrow, and you have the answer, the name of God. that you are a representative of God. And so the reason that we're here, even if life is horrible, the reason we're here is to spread the name of God to other people so they can experience the same life, the same transformation, the same blessing that we've experienced. Amen? That's how we honor the name of God, church. Let's pray.